Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Right field, pretty deep. Going back is call to the track, nearing the wall, and that ball is off the right field wall. It's in play, bounds away, back towards the infield. Wilson around second. He's heading for third. He's going to be there with a stand-up triple. Jam shot towards second, coming on Garcia. It drops. He picks it up, and nobody's at first base. I mean, that ball didn't even make it past the infield grass. Swing by Wilson. He hits one deep to right center, and this one is going to go. Weston Wilson with an opposite field home run over the high wall and right. He is a double shy of the cycle tonight. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field, on the run, call. He will lay out, it's off his glove. Wilson's around first, he's headed for second, and he's got the cycle. Weston Wilson is hit for the cycle tonight for the Phillies. 10th in Phillies history is Weston Wilson in order. The triple, the single, the homer, and a double.
How about Weston Wilson? Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. A big Phillies win last night. Hugh, punctuated with a cycle by Weston Wilson, just the 10th in Phillies history, the 9th player in Phillies history to accomplish it. JT did it last year. Before that, we hadn't had one around here since David Bell.
That's a long time.
It is, in 04. So this was only the second cycle in Citizens Bank Park history by a Philly. David Bell did it back in 04. Hugh, that was first of all, just a fun game. They got off to a big lead early. Wheeler was rolling yesterday. They needed an easy win. Like, they won by 4 runs 2 nights ago, but obviously it took the Schwarber Grand Slam and all that stuff. We needed a nice, easy, simple victory for the Phillies against a bad team. And Hugh, they got it last night. And Weston Wilson, who I think is in line to get some playing time this weekend against more lefties, that was a heck of a night.
Yeah, that was a slump buster, man. No question about it. And I know there are going to be some people out there, Joe, that say, oh, you know, it's the Nationals. Yeah, it was. It was. But it was a timely win, one that we needed. And you got to take it. Take them as they come, man. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Here's the question I had watching that last night. I put it back on for the last at-bat to see if he'd get the cycle. So he hit the ball into the right center field gap, right? It went off the outfielder's glove. I mean, it was a hit because he had a dive for it. So it was a fair hit. Do you think he would have ran to third if the ball got to the wall? So he needs the double for the cycle, right? Mm-hmm. The game is – they're winning the game. It's not like that run really mattered. Do you think he would have run – all to third base if the ball that got to the wall? Because it was perfect to where it got off the outfielder's glove. He could easily get to second, and he's got the cycle. I wonder if he would have run, or he just would have throttled it down and said, I got my cycle.
Yeah, what did he say when Bryce told him, keep running? Yeah, you got to go for it, man. I mean, at that point, because you're having a magical night.
Yeah.
He's been in the minors for a while.
8 years.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. So, and you know, that's one of those things where you take advantage of the situations that are presented to you. And he did that. He had a great time, man. And it was great to see. It was great to see the energy in that ballpark, because it's been a while since it's been like that. And again, I know, you know, the first thing I thought about when I saw those runs they put up last night, 13 of them things, I said, there are going to be some people out there that are going to be like, well, they just played the Nationals. Dude, relax. Remember what it was like when you were a child, because I guarantee you, last night there were a bunch of kids in that stadium that did not care that it was a bad team. They saw a great baseball game. And that's a memory that they're going to take with them and keep for the rest of their lives. Yeah, that's how you got to kind of look at it.
And look, to me, the path to 95 wins involves a lot of wins over bad teams. You take them, you beat them, you move on. And you know what I liked about last night? Obviously, Weston Wilson was a huge part of it. Wheeler was great. You know, they needed a nice shutdown start, and he gave them 6 innings, 1 run. But Hugh, remember the beginning of the year they kept jumping out to leads? Every first and second inning, it was 2-0 Phillies, 3-0 Phillies, and they were rolling. They haven't had that for a while. Last night, 4-0. You get the Bohm homer, you get the Castellanos homer. And after the first thing last night, I was like, this is a wrap. Wheeler on the mound. Now, I didn't know they were going to score 13, but I just felt like they were going to win the game after that. So, big night for Weston Wilson. Great night for Zach Wheeler. Everyone contributed. And I got to tell you, and we'll get back to the phones here in a second on the Eagles with McKee and Tanner, Tanner McKee and Kenny Pickett. Who do you want as the backup? 215-592-9494. Of course, your submissions for Try Day. We're looking for a new TV show or a TV show to try that we could binge here over the next couple weeks. But, Hugh, when credit is due, I give out credit, right? Now, sometimes it takes me a while to give out credit, especially if it's someone I didn't particularly love in the beginning. But Hugh Douglas, I mean, if you want to have a victory lap today, you haven't had one in a few weeks, if you want to have one, I'm all for it, because Johan Rojas deserves credit. He has hit well since the All-Star break. He's obviously, you know, done the job in the outfield. But I think he's done a really good job in the last few weeks. Number one, in the first role he was in, which is like, come in when we need you. Mm-hmm. But now that Austin Hayes went down and he's had to play center again every day, plus Marsh has stunk, so he didn't play every day. They're getting a lot out of Johan Rojas. I have been impressed, and my eyes are open to him remaining the center fielder on a consistent basis.
You know, Joe, we've been working together long enough, and you know me well enough. No, I don't like to gloat, but he's hitting .243 now, and since the All-Star break, he's hitting .310 since that.
That's a significant number.
You know what I mean?
Don't go on him, Hugh.
No, man, because it's not about that. This is a symmetrical synergy, synergistic, synergized. Whatever.
I like synergistic. That's
what this show is, man. And I don't need that. But it was funny, because when I saw the night that he was having, and he's had some moments in the last few weeks where it might not have been at the plate, but it's been an outfield where I just sit there and I'm like, I feel good about it. I feel good about it, because at the end of the day, he's doing exactly what you want him to do. The unfortunate thing about the position that Rojas is in is that there are nights when you go 1-7, 8, where guys aren't doing their job, and his contribution is magnified.
Sure.
You know, and that's where it's easy to pick on him. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, but like I've been saying forever, you're going to need this guy, and it's probably going to be more his defense than anything. But it's good to see that he learned from the mistakes that he made when they sent him down. And he's playing better. That one he hit in the gap last night, man, that was clutch.
So when the trade deadline happened, I decided in my head there was no way he was going to start playoff games, right? They'd put Marsh in center. They would put Austin Hayes in left. That's the way I decided it was going to go. Hugh, I have reopened my mind that he's going to start and could start and maybe should start playoff games, because, first of all, he's been good for the past few weeks. That's obvious. If you're watching, you realize he's been pretty good. The second thing is Brandon Marsh has been in the tank for months. Brandon Marsh has to re-earn the spot. I mean, it seems like they want Austin Hayes to be the left fielder, and he was on the broadcast last night. I think he should be back sometime next week. So let's say Austin Hayes comes back next week. He's going to go to left field. If Brandon Marsh doesn't start hitting, he doesn't play. Like, Johan Rojas is giving defense, and their offense over the past few weeks has been obviously better for Rojas. Like, I can't believe we're here. I think this is part because of how bad Brandon Marsh has been, Kyle, but also, legitimately, Rojas has helped them the last few weeks.
I'm starting to wonder why I ever doubted Hugh Douglas about anything.
Especially baseball.
Especially baseball. Guaranteeing a Phillies win may have, like, you know, the thing we haven't talked about with the Phillies yet is that Hugh might have legitimately saved the season twice.
I'm telling you, Hugh's going to get us in the parade. Yep, I'm not kidding.
They're going to put Hugh in the Phillies video yearbook at the end of the season. But, like, earlier in the season, when Rojas would come to the plate, you're like, this is an auto out. And his swing looked, like, miserable. Like, it looked awful. Yep. Like, he looked like he did not belong up there at all. It's been lately, like, this has been building. It's not just because he had a good night last night. But it's been, like, the last few times he's gotten in the lineup, I actually somehow feel confidence when he's at the plate. I'm like, he could either, you know, stretch out an infield single, or he's putting the ball in the outfield now. Like, he's actually getting good at bats off and good swings off, and, like, he actually looks like an MLB player right now.
I haven't looked, but if I had to guess, his strikeout rate over the last month is really low. He puts the ball in play, and with his speed, like the play the other night, which right before Schwarber hit the grand slam, he beat it out. He hit a ball into the hole at shortstop, and with his speed, he's going to get there almost every time because he's really fast. Like, if he doesn't strike out and puts the ball in play, he can play. I am way more positive on Rojas than I've been the entire season. And my mind is open, Hugh, that he can now be their everyday center fielder the rest of the season, start playoff games. And now, if he goes back in the tank and Marsh heats up, you know, I might feel differently in a month, but I mean, right now, he should be their everyday center fielder.
This is a fluid situation. And the thing that he's doing right now is he's using his assets to his advantage, his speed and his ability to play defense. And it looks like at the plate, he's learning how to lay bunts down, just trying to be a better overall batter. So, yeah, that's what you have, man. Like I said, I've been saying this forever. You're going to need him in the playoffs. He's going to come up big for you in the playoffs.
Is that another bold prediction by
I don't think that's a bold prediction because I've kind of been on that.
Yeah, but what if he gets a game-winning hit in the playoffs? I mean, that's a Hugh Douglas prediction.
I was, just, like, in my head, I was going – because watching him now, you're like, he feels like the kind of guy that will come through in a big spot in the playoffs, like, unsung hero type thing, and you're like, man, like, how about Johan Rojas?
Well, right now he's helping. I mean, that's all they need him to do is be a help at the bottom of the lineup. He is right now. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to give center field back full time to Johan Rojas? Big night last night, of course, the Weston Wilson cycle as the Phillies blow the doors off the Nationals. All right, back to your phone calls here. 215-592-9494. Team Pickett or Team McKee? And we need a TV show to try for Tri-Day here. Best answer we get today gets in our fantasy league. I mean, that's the spot. I mean, you get a spot in the midday show fantasy football league. Let's go to Josh in Wilmington. Hey, Josh.
Josh.
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen? So listen, I just got to start it off with both the quarterbacks we're talking about this morning absolutely stink. I mean, come on. What are we doing? I can't stand
it. How dare you disrespect Tanner.
Here's the thing. Whether or not they do or not, the reality is they're probably going to have to play at some point. I mean, Eagles history tells us two out of every 3 years, the backup quarterback plays a game or two or more. So we better hope they're better than stink because we might need them.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, in keeping it 100, they're both terrible. But I get it, right? I mean, listen, I was there in 2017. Yeah, they're about as, you know, they're good and terrible, Hugh. You know what I'm saying? So let's do this, right? Johan Rojas, last night, you know what I noticed?
What you got?
Looking at him, and he's been on his heels, right? But now I see him getting aggressive in the box. Last night, that hit he had with first and second, right? He takes it into left field, but he shortened it. He shortened the bat, and he really hit it. And let's just be real. He's out of the box quicker than anybody on the team, but you can tell that he's a competitor, right? He's in it. He's committed. Not to mention the fact that guy covers more ground than Pennypacker Park. So, like, I'm all in on Johan Rojas. One, because we can't have suspect defense in the playoffs. And two, Brandon Marsh looks absolutely lost sometimes.
Josh, you started the call by saying these backup quarterbacks stink. Over the last 2 months, no one has stunk more than Marsh. I mean, if you gave Marsh a tennis racket right now, he wouldn't hit the baseball. I mean, he stinks right now.
Not with a tennis racket.
I mean, no, but I could make a case for Bryson Stott, too. He's good and terrible also right now.
Well, so, he has been. Yeah, you know. No. That's why they struggled so much the last month or so, because they've had a lot of these good and terrible guys. But, Josh, Rojas, we know the defense. He's been better at the plate since he got back up here. And I think he's bought into his role. And then when they needed him again to start the last 2 weeks, he's done well.
Sure. So, I mean, listen, you know, you can tell just slightly – the fact that, like, he's really doing everything that he can to earn his spot on this team. And, you know, I'm a fan of that. And his youth, not to mention, you know, his ability to get along with certain guys and put the work in. I mean, I'm all for that. And center field, I don't think we have a better option, to be quite honest with you.
Not unless Marsh starts to hit again. Like, if Marsh starts to hit the way he did in April, then that's a conversation, because you get more offense, and at least the defense is still decent. But until he does, now he's going to play. All right, Josh, give us a TV show. What should we check out?
So hold on real quick. Let me do this. You remember yesterday we were talking about, our kids and whatnot?
Yeah.
So you know, the night before, my daughter and I witnessed Schwarber hit the grand slam, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there last night, and you know, here we go, right? Here comes Weston Wilson. My daughter and I are sitting together. And then on the broadcast, they put up on the scoreboard, it said cycle alert, real big, you know, in red.
Yep.
And I go, Liv, do you believe this? This is massive. If this happens, this is history. She's like, oh, my God. We both lean up, and he does it. And, I mean, we rejoice like we just won the World Series. So I had to share that, because it was consecutive nights to have a moment like that with your kid, man.
It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Fandom really begins. Like, there's, like, she'll remember that. You'll remember that. And
that's the point.
Yeah.
And that plays into the point that I was making. Regardless of who the team is, she's going to remember that moment that she had with her pops.
No one will even remember who it was against. Yeah, it's, who
no
cares?
No doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
And I just had to share that. So anyway, back to TV show. My wife and I just finished it, and it was a recommendation that I heard on the radio when Glenn Macnow was still going, and it was a show that we kind of put on hold. We finally got to it, and then we couldn't stop. We ripped it off last weekend, you know, the whole weekend. Presumed Innocent on Apple TV.
Presumed Innocent. I heard that was pretty good.
Yep.
You know, I thought you was going to say Bridgerton. For whatever reason, I thought he was going to say Bridgerton.
My wife watches Bridgerton.
They get it in Bridgerton, I heard. I heard it goes down.
Oh,
I've caught a few. I've seen a few episodes.
They say they get
it's
mad.
A lot.
They get it super nasty in Bridgerton.
I've seen Presumed Innocent, the one Josh is talking about.
You seen that? It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. I haven't watched it.
I think it's based on a book.
Josh, good stuff, man. We'll get you in the mix. That's an awesome moment with your daughter watching the cycle last night. Yeah, it's based on a Presumed Innocent, so it's Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm a Jake Gyllenhaal fan.
Yeah, it's Apple TV. It's pretty good. I liked it.
All right, that's definitely in the mix here. All right, let's go to Mike and Delran. What's up, Mike?
Man, this is the second time somebody stole my show.
Oh, no, Mike.
I got a good one. I got another one.
They stole his show. Josh stole his show.
Well, you got time to think of another one. We got time.
I already got it in the chamber. It's all good. Hey, listen, you, I have as many career starts as Dre make, or what's the kid's name for the Patriots?
Drake May.
So I feel like I'm as qualified as him. But listen, Bradbury stinks. you gotta tell me, dude. I don't care what people made these shoes for. He looked my man right in the eyes. He looked him right in the eyes and then went right. Hugh, what am I wrong here? I mean, I don't know if you saw it the way I saw it.
You talking about Bradbury?
I was so frustrated.
You know what's funny?
He looked right in the eyes.
Listen, Mike. If stink is the word that you want to use, I am not gonna try to get you to stop using it. But I will say this. He's playing a different position, and he's learning. And he has been getting, like, glowing endorsements the last couple of weeks. Last night it was a tough night for him.
Can I, Mike, here's the comparison.
I wanted to use a different word. But
yeah, crazy. So, Mike, here's my thing on Bradbury. And, he's a good dude. He's a hard worker. He's a smart player. Like, he's always been those things.
You know, when you start out with good dude, it ain't going well. It ain't about to go well.
I have the same thing that I thought last year. When the legs go for a defensive back, it's over. It's almost like, you know, when milk goes bad, it's not coming back. Like, he can't run anymore. He can't run.
I know. They've been talking great about him, but, like, that just played just drove me nuts.
It was bad.
And the fact that Kenny Pickett's on an NFL roster gives me hope that at 43, maybe I could get out there, because this dude's terrible too, man. If we have to see any of them guys besides Jalen Hurts, we're in big trouble. And the TV show that I got, my wife sucked me into it last night after we just finished that Presumed Innocent. It's called Banshee.
Banshee's really good.
What is that?
It's with the guy that played Homelander. I'll tell him about it.
I'm not going to ruin it, but here's the deal. The first 5 minutes, my man gets released from jail, gets it on with a bartender, a waitress at a bar, has a high-speed chase,
gets shot at, and that's in the first 5 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, it was wild.
Well,
it
that'll get people to keep watching. Good stuff, Mike. We appreciate
it. Go Birds.
We'll get you
in
the mix,
man,
for the Fantasy League.
It's like an older show, but it's really good. It's the guy. Do you watch The Boys?
No, I've never seen The Boys.
It's the guy that plays Homelander.
Under The Boys.
Yeah, it's the guy that plays Homelander. And it's the show is it's a really good show. It's a little raunchy too. It's right up there with Bridgerton. They get it in. They get it in.
So have you watched Bridgerton or you just heard about it?
No, I watched.
Because Bridgerton doesn't seem like the kind of show you would watch.
I don't watch Bridgerton.
Well, it seems like you
listen,
do.
Listen, when Bridgerton first came out, you know, because I'm on the internet and I look at like the trends or whatever. Yeah. Man, it was so many women out there talking about Bridgerton and how raunchy it was. I was just like, oh, y'all nasty. Yeah, but they said they get it in.
Banshee looks pretty intriguing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's really good. But yeah, Bridgerton. I was just because the ladies were commenting on Bridgerton a lot.
Yeah, it seems like it's people watch it a lot. It's popular. All right, so Banshee's a good one there. As far as Bradbury goes, not a great night last night, Hugh. I just wonder if his legs are gone. Can he run anymore? Like you could know where to be. Like you could teach me. You could tell me this is your assignment, Joe. Put on a uniform. Put on a helmet. Go out there. I'd have two issues. One, I'm not strong enough or big enough, but two, I can't run like these guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And obviously, this is a silly and extreme example, but Hugh, I just look at Bradbury. Last year, he couldn't run. People ran right past him. I just wonder if he can't run anymore.
I'll say this. This is how I felt last night watching that Patriots preseason game. I don't think the Patriots are going to be that good.
I agree with that.
I don't think they're going to be that good, and I think that they were trying their damnedest to get a win because they know they're probably going to be few and far between. So they were really trying to win that preseason game last night. That's kind of how I felt. But to your point, yeah, he didn't have – like for all the good that he built up and all the equity that he built up, He didn't look great last night.
No, when he's at a position, he can't catch up again. I mean, that's half the battle. I actually thought last night one of the great moments or good moments was Avonte Maddox with that interception because Avonte feels like he's on the bubble. Like if Quinion's going to start at nickel and Cooper DeJean is coming back here, it's going to be
numbers game.
It is going to be a number game.
We were talking about that this morning, man, because now like 53 guys are going to make this team, and now you have to, and this is how teams look at it. You break down the number of personnel you're going to have at each position. Mm-hmm. Say, like, normally in the NFL, we run in a 3-4. I would say you're probably going to carry 8 to maybe 10 linebackers.
Between the middle and the edge
and
guys?
And the edge guys, yeah. Because that's one grouping. You're probably going to keep 6 to 7 defensive linemen, interchangeable. Like, that's why the more you can do in the NFL, the better it is, because now you become more of an asset. Like, if you could play D-tackle and defensive end, you become more of an asset.
Sure.
You become more valuable. You're not expendable. So it's going to be one of those things. And corners, I don't know how many corners we're going to carry, because we only got, like, 31 guys that we were trying to talk about this morning. 31 guys are going to have – they're going to have to figure out how they're going to, like, divide all of that up.
Yeah, beyond the starters, the 31
Yeah, because
reserves,
I would
yeah.
think at least between the D-line and the offensive line, 16 of those positions are gone.
Well, you have to carry a lot of depth on O-line in case you have injuries.
You
and
gotta,
by the way, Steen last
that.
Night got hurt, so he's probably on the IR.
So now it's the numbers game. It's the numbers game on both sides of the ball. So you got to figure that out, man. This is when it's going to become crucial. The more you can do is going to be valuable for you if you're trying to make this team.
No question. By the way, you mentioned how you think the Patriots are going to be pretty really bad. So I just looked it up on FanDuel. They are the favorite to have the worst record in the NFL this year.
Yeah. So they're trying to find joy the best way that they possibly can.
That looks like a 4-win football team. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Are you Team Tanner McKee or Team Kenny Pickett? I live on an island. On Kenny Pickett Island. I'm not giving up yet.
The lonely island.
It's very lonely right now. Today is not a great day to be a Kenny Pickett supporter, but I remain steadfast that he should be the backup. Hugh's on Tanner McKee. Kyle's on Tanner McKee. Where do you come down? The Phillies. Should Rojas go back to being the everyday guy in center field? Plus, something Elliott said this morning has me a little worried. The Eagles could have whiffed big on a first-round pick. You got to hear this. We'll get to the audio next. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. And a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Give us a TV show we should try for Friday on Sports Radio 94.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for...
for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillie, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at noon, you know what day it is. It's Friday, Fransky Friday. Scott Fransky will join us as the Phillies continue their homestand here in series against the Nationals tonight at Citizens Bank Park. We got a Nola night tonight. I believe it's an Aaron Nola night on the mound as the Phillies go for three in a row and a winning streak and hopefully getting this thing back on the right track. By the way, Braves lost yesterday in San Francisco, so the Phillies back up seven. I mentioned this yesterday. Really, if they have a good weekend, the Phillies could bury the Braves for good at the beginning of next week. They're up seven right now. Let's just say they hold that lead. It stays seven into Monday or, you know, Tuesday, whenever the series starts down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. If they sweep Atlanta, it's 10. I mean, it's 10 with basically a month and a week to go.
Kiss the baby.
It's absolutely kiss the baby. So an opportunity here for the Phillies. We'll talk to Scott coming up at noon today. We have a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League to give away today. Try Day, give us a TV show we should try, and one a little bit off the beaten path, not your typical Wire or Breaking Bad. We've all seen those. And one we should try that you think maybe we haven't so far. And of course, Tanner McKee, Kenny Pickett, which team are you on? Steve in Westchester. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Jason said everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. Kenny Pickett's been there. He's been punched in the mouth before, Joe. I'm on your side. I think he would do a better job than Tanner McKee. I think Tanner McKee is like, I look at it as like preseason football is like a fantasy draft. When you're done your fantasy draft, everything looks good on paper. And, Tanner McKee is just playing the preseason.
I value that Pickett's started 24 games in the NFL. He's been the guy, right? He was an unquestioned starter for a period of time in Pittsburgh. And part of it too, Steve, for me is we keep seeing McKee against third stringers and he lights it up. Like, would he have done well on that first drive when the Eagles couldn't block for Kenny Pickett? I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think so. And another thing is, Joe, I trust Howie. I trust Howie on this one. And they have the same skill set, you know what I mean? So, I'm with you, Joe. I don't agree with you much, but I agree with you on this one.
Well, it's about time, Steve. We found some common ground. All right, Steve, give us a TV show we should check out.
All right.
What?
Oh, no, we need the TV show.
Hey, that's a choke job.
I wanted to give homage to Merle Reese. I didn't get a chance to. I was a big Merle Reese impersonator. I love going to the tent. Underneath the steps of the Spectrum on Sunday with Angelo and Glenn, and it was just great, man. Merle is the man. So if you want me to lay one on you, I can do that. But my TV show is an old one, man. I might be out of the loop a little bit, but
I really like that show, Deadwood. It's an older series.
Deadwood,
the Western. It's like said,
yeah, that's an
the
HBO.
Western.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah. That's an interesting one, Steve. We appreciate it. Yeah, Steve's phone was breaking up. I want to make sure we got his TV show. So Deadwood in there. So we found it. It only took an hour and a half, but we found a Kenny Pickett supporter. I'm not the only one. There's some.
They're out there. They're definitely out there.
Well, today it's yeah, you got to kind of lay low if you're a big Kenny Pickett guy today. Today's not a big day to be a Kenny Pickett supporter.
And it's one of those things, man. It's in a vacuum because, you know, to be realistic, he wasn't playing with the starters, you know. I mean, I look at him and, you know, Gardner Minshew was a guy that came in and he had some success when he was running with the starters. And it could potentially be the same thing. He's a bigger quarterback. He got little hands, but he's had some success.
He has. And again, he started 24 games in the last 2 years. It's not like he's not some out of nowhere guy. He was a first round pick in the NFL draft. Now, to Kyle's point, if, you know, that was a pretty bad quarterback draft a few years ago.
Then they had to have him.
Yeah, I mean, based on his skill set, what we've seen, should he have been a first-round pick? Probably not. Maybe he probably should have been a second or third-round pick. But the bottom line is he was. He was a first-round pick. He was their guy. They moved off him. I get all that. And I'm not trying to say he's the savior here. But if Jalen goes down and Eagles history says they're going to need their backup at some point this season, and Jalen Hurts' history says he's going to be banged up at some point. In 2021, it was his ankle. In 2022, it was his shoulder. 2023, it was his knee. I mean, that's Jalen Hurts' history. Now, last year, he was able to push through that and played with the knee injury, Hugh, for whatever that was, a good part of the season. But the reality is, at some point, the Eagles might need to start one of these guys or come into a game. Like, that's just... And what was it last year? Wasn't like you said it recently, like 60 quarterbacks played last year?
There was a bunch of quarterbacks banged up last year. It was one of those things where that's why I wasn't too keen on having them play because they got banged up early, and it was a lot of bad quarterback play on Sundays.
I mean, the crazy part is if 60 quarterbacks played, that means on average, what, like 30 of the 32 teams had to go to a backup?
And and some teams had to go to a couple backups, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of these were on their third or fourth string at one point. I mean, it was the Vikings at one point. Didn't they trade for a quarterback in the middle of the season? They traded for, who's the guy, the Cardinals? Dobbs? Was that Josh Dobbs?
Yeah, Josh Dobbs. Because you know what I remember about that story is when he went into the pro shop to buy jerseys when he was winning in Arizona.
He was in Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't have his jersey. And I thought about that because Jeremiah Trotter Jr., his jersey's in the pro shop here.
We got that call yesterday.
Yeah, and he played a snap, but he's a starting quarterback, and they didn't even have one jersey in the pro shop.
No, you know where Dobbs is now? Dobbs is now Brock Purdy's backup in San Francisco.
Okay, so he's moved around a little bit.
He has. Yeah, let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Better look out.
Yo, Julio, what's the dealio?
Hey, Chuck.
What's up, man?
What's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, bro.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to say I would love to keep Avante Maddox. You know, I like him at safety. I really do. And you know, our injury history, you know, CJGJ gets hurt, and I don't like Blankenship as a safety. So, I mean, you know, he probably won't have a spot on his roster as a corner or a nickelback. But he could play safety.
Yeah, Chuck, I'm with you on this. So, and you're right about the safety spot. So Blankenship's only okay, and he got banged up, you know, in his career. CJGJ's always hurt. And Chuck, Sidney Brown's not ready yet, so they need something else back there.
Yeah, I like this. You know, he's a ball hawk. Avante Maddox, you know, you add another person that can actually play back there and get turnovers. I like that, man. I wouldn't get rid of Avante. I would keep him on his team, you know, as a backup safety or as a, you know, it possibly can, you know, you can hybrid him and whatever the case may be. I just think he could be utilized on the defense. I wouldn't get rid of him. That's just me. And as far as like McKee and Pickett, Kenny Pickett stinks. You know what I mean? that's just what it is. I mean, you know, teams typically don't get rid of a quarterback, you know, this young.
Well, he wanted to leave now. I think if there was a report out there when they found out they were getting Russell Wilson, he wanted to go.
It got awkward there. But you're right. I mean, Chuck, you're right. First-round pick quarterbacks rarely get traded after two seasons.
Yeah, well, I'm saying he wanted to leave because he knew he wasn't good enough, you know, to compete against Russell Wilson. I mean, you think you're good enough. You're not trying to leave. You say, this is my starting job, and I'm going to go down fighting. And I don't know. When I watch him, nothing that he does just wows me. Nothing. You know what I mean? From the two gloves that he wears to his arm. You know, he missed a throw yesterday. I think it was a wheel route. It was to Shipley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he also missed a deep one early to John Ross. He had a step, but he just missed
John Ross. That's who it was. Yeah. I'm sorry. It was John Ross. He missed it because I fell asleep on the preseason game. I mean, you know, the game after the second quarter, you know, it's like a bore fest. But, you know, I watched that in the first half, and I seen that pass, and he missed him, completely missed him. I mean, I had Tanner McKee, you know, I like his arm. I like he gets the ball out to the receivers. And if he's playing with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard, a starting, you know, offensive line, a starting tailback and Saquon Barkley, you know, I think he can do good things, you know, for a couple games if Jalen gets hurt. So I like Tanner McKee. I think it was a waste of a trade to get Kenny Pickett in. You know, you started 23 games. That's all fine and dandy. But if you started 23 games and you were subpar in most of them, what good is that? I'm cool with Tanner McKee being our backup. That's just me.
Chuck, yeah, well, and that's fair. It's a fair word. All right, Chuck, give us a TV show we should check out.
Well, this TV show, you know, everybody loved The Wire, right? The Wire was a great show. But there will be no Wire if it wasn't for this show. And this show was HBO original. It was called The Corner. And this was a spinoff. The Wire was a spinoff The Corner, you know. And then The Wire was created, and everybody knows the history of The Wire. So I'm going to say The Corner.
The Corner. I've never seen that. Have you seen The Corner?
No, I haven't.
That's a good one, Chuck. The Corner. You know, there's a lot of shows out there that are actually spinoffs of other shows, like shows that became popular, and sometimes you don't even realize it, like where it came from. But I didn't know this.
It's very highly rated.
The Corner.
Yeah, it's like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And it's been around since 2000.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's like, what, it's only like one season?
And then they spun it off into the idea of The Wire.
Yeah, it's only one season, though. So it's like, what, that's an easy watch. That's like six episodes.
I like the one season easy watches. It's you go, you watch it, you can do it in one day, or a couple days or a weekend. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh, we got to address something about a certain player on the Eagles. So we spent a lot of time today, obviously, on the quarterback thing, as they both played last night, the two backups, and competing for this number two spot. Hugh, there were some good things last night. I thought Nakobe made some plays. I thought Zach Bond made some plays. You know, a lot of guys on the defense that need to make some plays did. But Hugh, one guy that I keep waiting to see something that's like, there it is, and I haven't seen it yet, now in a year plus, that's Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith
got a sack last night.
Yeah, I know. He got a sack against third stringers. So
he flashed.
Yeah. All right. So Elliot this morning was on with DeCameron Ritchie. Listen to this back and forth, because it's interesting. As Nolan Smith here goes into year two, and the Eagles need him, and there's a lot of question marks of where he is in his development. Here's the exchange on the morning show today.
I just don't think Nolan has shown in two games what the Eagles were hoping. I know he had that sack last night. This is now twice he's been late in the game with the sack. You know, early on, he's not doing anything against even the top backup on another roster. So I don't think he has helped himself.
He's been unblocked for his sacks also.
Elliot, are you saying Nolan Smith, Marcus Smith?
That's probably a better comparison than Barnett, honestly.
Oh, gosh. That one, that's a good one right there. Because Marcus Smith was a stiff. That's a tough comparison. Hugh, what have you seen the first couple of preseason games? Because he's not a luxury anymore. He's a necessity. He's going to have to play at some point, right? Like he's part of the rotation on pass rush.
I think now looking at him, because like I said, I've been having this on stream all morning long. He's probably going to be a situational guy. Like when I look at him, it just looks like he's not in control of his body. He's not. It's like he has tremendous get off. He has tremendous closing speed. That's something that you can work with, Joe, but it has to be in a controlled environment. And the problem with that is this. When I look at this film, is that he's going to be a tell. Like, and what I mean by that is when you know he's on the field, you know it's going to be a passing down. Well, you know that you have a guy that's getting after the quarterback, I should
say.
The
defense is planning for a pass.
Yeah, they're planning for a pass. So with his ability and the way that he's been playing thus far, there's going to be opportunity there because he runs up the field. As a matter of fact, I just saw a play where, they ran the draw to his side because he read the pass. So you're going to have to – there's a chance that he could be a part of this team, but you're going to have to put him in situations.
So almost like what Bryce Huff was for the Jets?
Yeah, like that's what I'm kind of seeing, man. Because, like, realistically, honestly, he's a first-round draft pick. You don't want to give up on him. Like, he just looks like, to me, like he's not in control. Like, he hasn't – it's almost like, you know, when you're a young kid, a young guy, and all of a sudden you put on about 10 pounds of muscle or you have a growth spurt in the summer and you come back and you try to play basketball, football, and you can't control your body yet. You
awkward.
You, yeah. it feels like he's kind of that a little bit.
Well, and then with that, Hugh, it's going to put pressure on Bryce Huff, who did play last night, interestingly enough. $51 million player playing in the second preseason game and getting a lot of snaps early. But he's going to have to – if Nolan can only play on pure pass rushdowns, that means Huff's going to have to play more. Josh Sweat's going to have to play. Like, the other guys are going to have to pick up the slack because – You know, I mean, there's only so many snaps to go around for a player the way you're describing Nolan Smith right now. Like, that's what, 30% of the snaps?
Yeah, he gets off the rock, though, Joe. Like, I do like that. I like the fact that when he gets off the ball, I mean, he has great closing speed. But he just, like I said, he just doesn't look like the way he bends and the way he uses his hands and everything. He looks kind of like, I guess, clueless. Not clueless, but just awkward.
I think that's the right word. Kyle, where are you at right now on Nolan Smith as we go into year two with the first round pick?
He looks like I don't know. He's like
baby chicken.
He's like he runs around out there like a chicken with his head cut off. Is what he does.
Baby chicken, or what's that? What's the baby ostrich? Baby ostrich.
I have no idea, dude.
When they have when they're first born, or baby deer.
They're kind of wobbly.
No, like, you know what I mean? Like a little wobbly.
He looks like he doesn't belong out there. I mean, he looks too small to be a defensive end. I don't think he has the skill set to really be like a linebacker. So I don't know, man. And then if you consider where he was drafted, the Lions took Brian Branch right after him.
Yes, they did.
Not great. I mean, safeties, you know, I know we have CJ Gardner-Johnson right now, but safety, I'd still consider a position of need, and it looks like that might have been the wrong pick.
Yeah, I keep coming back to this, and they have more time to play this out. Like, when you draft all those Georgia players, are they all individually great, or did they look great because
they had a great defense.
I know, but like, I kept wondering this the last couple of years as they drafted all of them, Hugh. Are they all A players, or are they a bunch of B and B-plus players that you put them all in the same field together and they play like an A unit? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to evaluate because they're all together. I think Jalen Carter's the easiest one to see.
Yeah, he's a grown-ass man.
He could play.
I like Jordan Davis still.
But Jordan and Nolan and N'Kobe, it hasn't, you know, they haven't translated yet.
N'Kobe's been making a little bit of noise, though.
A little push to play here, yeah.
Yeah, he's making a little bit of noise. N'Kobe needs to stay healthy. You know, I heard him talking on television the other night, and he was talking about how throughout his whole career plan, how he's been somewhat the underdog and how he embraces that role. Mm. He makes plays when he's healthy. His biggest problem right now is he just has to stay healthy, man. You got to stay healthy.
Well, there's an opportunity. I did think Bond played better last night as he's trying to stave off these young guys. But there's always an opportunity with the Eagles to play linebacker. Sam in Hatfield. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's
good,
going
Sam?
On?
What's up?
Good. I just wanted to hit back up on the Rojas thing. Like, I think, you know, Rob Thomas really changing up things is the way to go. I mean, you see that, like, our base hits are winning ball games rather than our big hitters at the moment.
Well, and the last month, Sam, he's just been better. I mean, I was really down on Rojas, and I thought he was crazy because he thought he could play a little bit. But the last month, I mean, he's hitting .300. He's getting on base. He's catching the ball. He's helped them a lot.
Yeah, he's a solid fielder, and I think he's a good nine-hole hitter, and that's, like, what we need right now. Well,
I'm not
doing their thing.
Take your victory lap,
Hugh. No, I'm just saying.
The people are chiming in.
I mean, I get it, though, man, because that, like, being the ninth hole hitter on this team of great hitters, I mean, he took a lot of flack this year. But, yeah, he's doing exactly what he's been asked to do all season long. Was hitting .230, now he's hitting .243. I mean, you can't ask anymore. The defense was there. The defense has always been there.
Yeah, and he's been a better base runner, too, lately. He's helped them win. Sam, what's a TV show we should check out?
All right, I don't know if it's been said yet, but What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
I think I've heard of that one.
What is that?
Is that like a comedy, though?
So I think it's kind of like The Office style, but like
it's
with
like a
vampires.
Bunch of vampires.
Yes. Vampires.
Yeah. I think I've seen previews for that. I think it's not a bad show.
Because
it was from the group. It was from a they used to do parody of songs, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I know originally it came from the movie in Australia.
Oh
yeah, because they're from down under.
Cool. What is that? Is that like a Netflix thing? Where do you find that?
I think it's Hulu.
Hulu. Yeah.
All right,
Hulu.
We'll check it out, Sam. Good one. We'll get you in the mix to be in the fantasy league. All right, so we got What We Do in the Shadows. I like the submissions today. I don't even know about half these shows.
And it's another highly like critically acclaimed show. So it's funny because some of these we don't know about, but they are still like. Still get really good
people
reviews.
They get good reviews.
Those are the kind of answers that I'm looking for.
There's so many TV shows.
There are.
Every time you turn a streaming service, like, brand new show, 10 of them. It's like, how do they make all these? There's everywhere. Let's grab John in Allentown on WIP. Hey, John.
What's up, boys?
What's up, John?
What's going on, man?
Hey, you guys need to pump the brakes a little bit. You know, Johan Rojas, I mean, I'm not going to give you that much credit.
I mean, which is fine.
I mean, overall, he hasn't played that good. I mean, let's calm down on giving him all the credit. Let's see, you know, if he can make it to the playoffs and see if he can hit a ball in the playoffs.
So I'll say this, John.
We'll give him some credit.
Yeah, overall, his season numbers are not good. I mean, like, he's a sub 600 OPS. But since the All-Star break, he's hitting .310, and his strikeout rate is really low. Like, that's – I'll take that. I mean, that's really – for him, if he could hit – you know, anything in the above 250, we know there's not much power there. But if he could be serviceable offensively and defense, we know what he does there, then he could play.
And you know, as far as, like, somebody called in earlier and said the Phillies are on fire. No, man, they won two games in a row. They're smoking. They're starting to get some little smoke. That's not fire. That's
right.
Everybody jumps right back on.
Well, that's what we do.
Come on, man.
Fire is if they sweep this
weekend. Isn't that what baseball fans do on a weekly basis?
Not me.
Okay. Well, you're the guy that
I grew up right outside of Philadelphia watching this team every year in and out. So no, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, you're the joy stealer. You're the guy that no matter what they do, you're not satisfied. That's fine if that's who you want to be.
Right,
John.
No, that's not true, brother.
So, what's on fire, John? They sweep the rest this weekend. We come back in here Monday. They've won five in a row. Does that count?
If they sweep the horrible Nationals, Mets, which I expect them to do, and then they go next week and win the next two series, then I'll say they're on fire.
Well, that would be on fire because that would be five, and it'd be what? That would be 9 out of 11. That'd be pretty good. Yeah, that's back to on fire. Where are you? Are you Team Tanner or Team Kenny Pickett?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not team either of them, because if either of them got to play any substantial time, we're in trouble. Pickett is horrible, and Tanner is, you know, just not – you know, he's better than Pickett, so everybody's happy. But, you know, Fields should be the backup quarterback on this team.
Well, so they could have had him.
If we have to go to the backup, we are in trouble. So I'm not team either, as far as I'm concerned. But Pickett – two gloves. I'm pretty sure my hands are way bigger than his. Like, you know, I'm only 5'8", so I got it, man. I think if you had to pick one, you have to go with McKee. But if we have to go to either of them, we're in trouble.
So that may be the case, but they've got to find out who's the – John, we appreciate it. I mean, look, we could say that now, but the reality is they may need to go. Okay, I just want to say this about being in big trouble if they have to go to Kenny Pickett. Again, I know the numbers are not great, and the numbers are pedestrian. The Pittsburgh Steelers the last 2 years have not had an overly talented roster. Mm-mm. They just haven't. They've had a good defense, but their offense has not had much. I mean, it's been George Pickens, a young receiver, and nothing else. They don't have a great offensive line. They've been over 500 with Kenny Pickett. You're telling me that the Eagles could – if the Eagles have to win – if let's say
– Two games.
Can Kenny Pickett go 1-1?
Yes.
Or Tanner McKee, whoever your backup of choice is. That's what you need, and
That's what you're looking at.
With the team around them, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And I don't think it's good for us to be like, well, the Eagles season is doomed if Jalen goes down.
No, because I don't think people are looking at this realistically. Like, when you look at, you could argue, like he did, that the Phillies aren't hot. They're hot for what they were couple days ago.
Of course.
And it's like you got to start somewhere. And like I said, when you have – your kids or you have young fans that are at the game, ain't nobody worrying about the fact that they played the Nationals. They're worrying about the fact that they had a great game, and that's a memory that they're gonna remember. You got to start somewhere. So I've never subscribed to that. And as far as Kenny Pickett is concerned, okay, let's be realistic about this. Like, let me help some of y'all out that think that he's garbage. Okay, these coaches are here because they understand his skill set. If he had to play just like they did with Gardner Minshew, they're going to change the offense, and they're going to cater the offense to help his skill set, which they, to a certain extent, they didn't do when Gardner Minshew was here, and that's why he wasn't here. That's why they went out and got Marcus Mariota. They had to kind of, you know, cater the offense or take some of the plays out that they ran with Jalen. But now that they got a quarterback that they feel is similar to Jalen, they can still run some of the same stuff, but it's going to be I would think that if Kenny Pickett had to play, they're going to match the plays to his skill set.
Of course they are.
And they're going to allow him. And that's why you got Saquon Barkley. They're not going to put him in a position where they're asking him to do things that he can't do that Jalen can do.
Yeah, well, that would be crazy. 215-592-9494. That's a hopper. We'll get to all your phone calls here. Are you Team Tanner or Team Kenny Pickett for the backup quarterback spot? Obviously, McKee played better last night. Where do you come down on that? The Phillies. Is it now Rojas' job again in center field after the way he played last night? Two wins in a row here for the Phils. Scott Fransky joins us next. And a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. Give us a TV show we should try on Friday right here in the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Recently, I visited my friend Dr. Rafi, the premier hair restoration specialist in the Delaware Valley, and I saw the cutting-edge surgical options he offers all genders, including the Artis IXI Robotic FUE, Neograft, and the non-surgical Almatec. Dr. Rafi will design a custom solution for you. So stop hiding your hair loss. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.